The Children Under the Ice by R.A. Douthat. Chapter 23. Blackest Moment.
No! Mikey heard the scream come from his own mouth, but his eyes followed the car as it sped by. Then he dropped his bike and ran back to where Lexi and Chad leaned over Destry's limp body.
Destry!
Mikey skidded down onto his knees before his injured friend. Destry groaned from the pain. Lexi held his hand.
What happened?
Mikey screamed.
The car! That car! It came straight at us!
Chad yelled.
Destry! Lexi consoled him. Hang in there.
Donnie, go get the coffee shop manager. Tell him to call an ambulance, Mikey ordered. Donnie took off on foot toward the shop. Meanwhile, many townspeople were already running out to see what had happened. Mikey stood and turned around to where the car was. He froze. The car that hit his friend hadn't sped off after all. It stopped down the road. It was a white car with two doors and a chrome rear bumper. Mikey could see the brake lights in the twilight. He walked toward the stopped car. As he walked toward it, he tried to see who the driver was, but it was too dark inside the car.
Mike, what are you doing?
Lexi asked.
Come back here.
But he ignored her. He could hear the low rumble of the engine as it idled. A few snow flurries floated down in the glow of its headlights. He could smell the exhaust fumes. Down near his feet, on the asphalt, were the skid marks. The driver slowly rolled down the window, and an arm covered in a dark-sleeved coat reached out and adjusted the side mirror. Mikey stopped walking. The arm rested on the door. The car remained idle for a moment, as though the driver was waiting for Mikey, waiting for something to happen. But what? Mikey stood there watching, and the driver did too. It was some sort of a standoff. Then the engine revved one time. The brake light stopped glowing as the white car sped off. That's when Mikey knew.
Coward!
He shouted as loud as he could, but his voice was lost in the roar of the car's engine. It disappeared down the hill in a cloud of exhaust. For a moment, Mikey thought his heart would burst through his chest. He could taste the anger in his mouth. He'd never felt this way before, but now he knew for certain. He knew the killer was in that car. And, for the first time, Mikey knew he had to be the one to stop this once and for all. Inside the hospital waiting room, it was warm and decorated for Thanksgiving. Donnie sat nearby on the couch eating candy corns from a bowl set out for visitors. His eyes seemed distant. Mikey looked over and saw Lexi crying with her mother. Her shoulders heaved as she wept, and her long blonde hair fell around her face. Her mother tried to calm her down. Chad talked with his parents. Even Donnie's father stood nearby talking to a nurse. But Mikey sat alone. He looked down at his muddied shoes. He studied them for a moment. He remembered when his dad had bought them. They went to the shoe store together. It was a Buster Brown store off Main Street. He had outgrown the shoes his mom had bought him, so they had to buy new ones. He still had the old shoes in his closet. He didn't want to throw them away because, well, she had bought them for him. His mother. He could see her face.
"It'll be okay, Mikey," she said as she leaned in close to his face. "I'll see you soon." "Take me with you," Mikey cried.
His mom looked behind him. He knew she was looking at his father sitting at the kitchen table.
"I'll come back for you real soon, okay?"
Her eyes returned to Mikey's, and she looked deep into her son's large brown eyes, shiny with tears.
"Promise?"
Mikey said. He could feel the warm tears on his cheeks.
"I promise," she said.
She leaned in and gave him one last hug. He breathed in her smell, a mixture of hairspray and drugstore perfume. He knew he'd never forget that smell. She released him, stood back, and then turned around. She picked up her bag and car keys, and then put the keys back down on the small table by the door. "I guess I won't be needing these anymore," she whispered. Then she approached the door and grabbed the doorknob.
"Mommy,"
Mikey said, hoping she would turn around. She hesitated only for a second, and then turned the knob. 5-year-old Mikey watched his mother walk out the front door.
"Mommy!" he shouted as the door closed.
But he could hear the waiting taxi drive off.
"Mikey?" his dad said. "You okay, son?"
Mikey awoke from his memory to find his frightened dad standing over him in the hospital waiting room. He nodded and rubbed his face. He knew he'd been crying.
"Yeah, can we go see him, Dad? Can we go see Destry now?"
"Not now, son," he said. "Come on, let's go home." Mikey stood.
"But I want to see him," he walked past his dad. "I need to see him."
"No visitors, son," his dad said. "Come on, let's go."
"Hey, Sheriff, what were these kids doing out there anyway?" Donnie's dad asked.
Mikey cringed.
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but..." his dad replied. "Yeah, well, my son tells me that your kid led them out there to talk to some old woman. Is this true?"
He pointed at Mikey. Mikey's dad looked over at him.
Yeah, well, that's part of it," Mikey mumbled. "Look, those kids could have been killed out there," Donnie's dad shouted. "I don't want my son hanging around your kid anymore. Got that?"
"Yeah, sure," Mikey's dad said in a defeated tone.
"Late night jaunts in the forest, goofing around on that thin ice at night. Now this?"
Donnie's dad gathered up his coat.
"No more, understand?"
He and his son huffed past Mikey and the sheriff and stomped out the door into the parking lot. They could still hear the man shouting outside.
"At least Donnie didn't tell his dad about the ghosts," Mikey thought.
Then he sat completely still. He feared any movement. He crossed his arms over his chest and waited. Then he felt it, the heaviness of his father's hand on his shoulder.
"Let's go home, son," he said in that low, ominous voice Mikey knew all too well.
The silence was so thick on that drive home, Mikey thought for certain he'd drown in it. He looked out the window, and as the pond passed by, he thought about hopping out of the truck, running onto the ice, hoping it would crack open and freeze him up forever. But the truck made its way down their street. No such luck. "When we get inside, I want you to explain to me just what the heck happened, understand?" his father said. But Mikey was too disgusted to answer. He was too disgusted with himself, with his father, and with everything. When the truck stopped, he quickly swung open the door and ran inside the house. He could hear his father shouting after him. Mikey ran upstairs, threw off his coat and gloves, then slammed his bedroom door closed.
"All you have is your old man,"
he could hear Donnie's mocking voice in his head.
"All you have is your old man."
He swallowed the tears back for as long as he could, but then they won the battle. He wiped them off his face so his father wouldn't see. He sat on the bed and waited. Then he heard the thumping of his father's footsteps on the stairs. He could see his father's shadow darken the sliver of light coming from underneath his bedroom door. "You want to talk now or in the morning?" his father asked. Mikey thought about it. He honestly didn't know how to answer, so he remained silent in the dark room. His father waited patiently for an answer. When none came, he exhaled loudly. "In the morning, then," he said. "Get some sleep." Mikey watched his father's shadow disappear and the hall light shut off. He reached over and flipped on the lamp next to his bed. He looked around his room with its dark paneled walls. The hockey posters stared down at him, as did the movie posters. He reached up and yanked. A piece of one hockey poster came off. Then he yanked again and again and again until he tore each of his hockey posters to pieces and threw the scraps on the floor. He raced over to his dresser and pulled open the drawer. He reached in and took out the framed photo of the family he once admired. He looked at it and gently slid his hand across the frame. Then he saw a hint of his own reflection in the glass.
"No!"
he shouted and threw the photograph across the room. It hit the wall and the glass shattered.
"Are you all right?"
he heard his dad yell from across the hall.
"Just leave me alone!"
Mikey ran to his bed, fell on top of the covers, and cried himself to sleep. Chapter 24, The Truth.
"Well, I guess it's over, huh?"
Chad asked. "The investigation?" He and Lexi stood outside Mikey's house that next morning, waiting to see if he would go to school or not. Mikey peeked down from his bedroom window, carefully, so they wouldn't see him. He could hear them talking from upstairs.
"I guess so," Lexi sighed.
Mikey sensed the sadness in her voice. She wasn't her usual chipper self, and he knew why.
"Well, we'd better go."
Lexi looked at her new watch. "The bell's going to ring soon."
"Hey, where's your princess watch?"
Chad asked. Lexi frowned. "I lost it at the side of the road where Destry was..."
"Never mind."
Together, she and Chad walked off. Mikey craned his neck, watching them until they were out of sight. He had made his bed, brushed his teeth, and got all dressed in the fog of confusion and regret. He knew he wasn't going to school that day, and he was glad. He sat on his bed, picturing how the students would react to his presence. Heck, even the lunch ladies would probably shake their heads and snap their gum in disapproval. Who needs that? He thought. He heard a light rap on his bedroom door. Breakfast is ready, his father said. Mikey sighed, picked up his coat, and then headed downstairs. He was met by his father, who sat at the small kitchen table. Mikey sat down opposite his worried father. They faced each other. So, you ready to tell me what happened out there? His father asked. His large hands folded in front of him. The metal table squeaked. Mikey took in a deep breath and then slowly exhaled his fear. Dad, he said, I don't want to play hockey. His dad cocked his head as though confused. Huh? Like, ever, Mikey said. What? His dad said. But I thought you liked hockey. Dad, you like hockey. You like me playing hockey, Mikey said. But I never liked hockey. I suck at it. I hate it. Everything about it. I'm not any good at sports. Good job, Mikey thought. You did it. Now keep going. His dad sat back in his chair and ran his hands along the tabletop. I only played it because you wanted me to. You want me to be this sports hero that you never were. Mikey crossed his arms tightly. His dad reached up and rubbed the nape of his neck, trying to figure out what his son was talking about. Huh? Well, he said, I'm glad you told me this, son. I don't like any sports, Mikey said. I only pretended to because you do. Well, what do you like? Mikey thought for a moment. His mind went blank for some reason. Is this why you've been acting so strange lately? His dad leaned forward. Mikey frowned. Sneaking out at night, going to the pond, riding your bike to the next town without permission? Mikey, I'm confused by all this strange behavior. His dad tapped the table with his finger. Is this why you're doing all this? To get back at me for making you play hockey? No, trust me, Dad. It's complicated. You wouldn't understand. Mikey shook his head defiantly. Try me. I did, Mikey heard himself shout. I tried to tell you, but you didn't believe me. No one believes me. When did you try to tell me? At the hospital. Mikey stood and jabbed his finger at his father. I told you, and you didn't believe me. He quickly ran to the door and put on his coat while his father tried to remember what his son was talking about. No one ever believes me, Mikey muttered. You mean about the ghosts? His dad said. Of the kids under the ice? Yes. Mikey zipped up his coat and made his way to the mudroom. Son, I told you what I saw, and you didn't believe me. He slid on his snow boots. What does this have to do with what happened to Destry? Mikey groaned from frustration. He looked up and shook his hands. You see, I knew you wouldn't understand. No one does. He opened the front door, and a clap of thunder startled him. A few drops of rain splattered on the sidewalk leading up to the house. Mikey stood in the doorway for a moment, summoning up more courage to tell his father how he felt. He turned toward his dad. I can't talk to you, Dad, he said. That's just the way it is. I can't talk to you about what happened because you don't listen. You don't know me. You don't know what I want. You want me to be like you. Well, I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be alone, drinking myself to sleep every night. He could see the hurt in his father's eyes. I didn't mean that, Mikey thought. See, it's all linked together. What happened to me in the ice, old man Stuckey, Mrs. Stevenson, Destry, it's all linked together, but you wouldn't understand. You just don't get it. Mikey, his exasperated dad said, sit back down. I'm not through talking to you yet. No, Dad, Mikey clenched his fists. Don't you see? I can't talk to you because you don't understand. You don't listen. You never listen. And that's why Mom left. His eyes burned with tears. He watched his dad's face change from concern to plain confusion. The rain outside was pouring down now, soaking everything in sight. She left because you just don't get it. You don't listen to us. You never do. Mikey shouted and wiped his tears. He reached for the front door. And then there's Miss Jennings. With her, you have a chance to be with someone nice and sweet and beautiful, but you go and you blow it. Miss Jennings is about the nicest person around, but you blew it. You want to be alone. Well, I don't. I want to have a family again. I don't want to end up alone. That's why you called it off with Miss Jennings. You want to be alone. Well, fine then. Be alone. Mikey slammed the door behind him and ran down the street through the pouring rain. He headed away from the school and toward the library,
with his dad's hurt and confused face still in his mind. Well, that's it, Mikey thought as he ran. The raindrops stung his face. I really did it this time. There's no going back now. He stopped running and sat on a park bench across from the library downtown. He panted, trying to stop crying. With wet hair matted to his face, he wiped the water away from his eyes, but it was no use. The rain kept falling, blurring his vision. As he calmed down, he wiped his nose with his gloves. The old man won't let this one go. You dork. You said some stuff you can't ever take back. What were you thinking anyways? Hello, Mikey, a voice startled him. He looked up to see Reverend Johnson standing over him with a large umbrella momentarily blocking the rain. He wore a bright orange rain slicker over his clothes. Oh, hi, Reverend, Mikey mumbled, shivering in the cold. He looked down at his soaked shoes. He just couldn't look the Reverend in the eye, not after yelling at his dad like that. He felt too guilty. What seems to be the problem? The Reverend sat down next to Mikey. What makes you think there's a problem? The Reverend chuckled. Well, it's almost 9 in the morning, and you're out here sitting on the park bench in the rain, and you're not in school, he said. Plus, you don't seem too happy at the moment, and you act pretty happy most days. You're one of those kinds of persons. So I figured something must be wrong. Mikey nodded his head. Those kinds of persons? He thought. What does that mean? I know what happened to your friend Little Destry. The Reverend put his arm around Mikey's shoulder. Don't worry about him. He's going to be okay. Kids are resilient that way. Mikey looked up at him with blinking eyes, trying to keep the rain out of them. Really? Yes, I saw him this morning, the Reverend smiled. He only has a broken leg and a few scrapes. Other than that, he is just fine. So I don't see what the big deal is. Mikey sighed with relief. Oh, thank you, Reverend. He turned to face him. Thanks so much for letting me know. His parents are making more out of it than they should, the Reverend said flatly while looking off. He turned his head. It could have been a lot worse. I've seen worse. Do you think they'll let me see him? Mikey asked. Oh, I don't see why not, the Reverend said. Probably a little later on. I'm sure he'd be glad to see you. Good, Mikey stood. Where are you headed now? To the library, he motioned. Still researching? Mikey felt his smile disappear when he thought about the whole mess. Yeah, well, he said, I guess so. He put his hands in his pockets and looked down at the puddles forming on the sidewalk. More thunder echoed in the distance. Researching the past can be difficult sometimes. The Reverend stood to leave. I firmly believe you shouldn't meddle with the past. What's done is done. He made a chopping motion with his hands. One thing I've learned over the years, Mikey, is to let the past go. You can't go back and change things anyway. Live in the present, you know? I fix what I can in the here and now, and then I never look back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know. No use looking back. He patted Mikey on the shoulder. Look forward to the future. The Reverend headed down the street toward the church. Never look back, Mikey. Never look back. Mikey watched the Reverend walk off for a moment or two. Ain't that the truth, Mikey thought. I should just leave things be. Who am I to try and solve this murder mystery? I'm just a kid. I never should have started this stupid investigation in the first place. I should just forget the whole thing. The Reverend is right. It's not like I can change things or make a difference anyway. What's done is done. Then, as soon as that thought came to mind, he saw Kevin's face in his mind along with all the other ghosts. Their faces haunted his mind. But I can't forget about it, he thought. He rubbed the rain off his face with his gloved hands, as though trying to rub the image of Kevin out. I've got to try and do something. Then he turned and ambled over to the library, hoping to see Miss Jennings there. Chapter 25, History Lesson. As usual, the library was warm and inviting to Mikey, but most importantly, it was dry that rainy day. He took off his coat, shook off the excess water, and glanced up at a sliver of sunlight streaming through the large windows. The rain had stopped, and the sun tried hard to peek through the clouds.
He walked over to the spacious counter and waited. An elderly woman came out to greet him.
"Hello, how can I..."
She stopped. "Hey, aren't you supposed to be in school, young man?" She reached below the counter and pulled out a small towel. She handed it to Mikey with a frown.
"You can catch pneumonia being out there, you know."
"Yeah, I know. Is Miss Jennings here?" Mikey took the small towel and wiped his face. The old woman smirked, then pointed to the aisles of books. "She's stacking books over there."
Mikey turned his head and saw Miss Jennings. He handed the towel back.
"Thanks."
Mikey made his way past the tables and peered down a few aisles before he spotted Miss Jennings stacking books. She wore her usual long-sleeved black turtleneck sweater, a long denim skirt, and boots. She looked up and smiled when she saw Mikey approaching. The sparkle in her eyes was missing, and he knew why.
"Hey there," she said softly, as to not disturb nearby readers. "How are you?"
She gave him a gentle hug.
"Okay, I guess," Mikey said.
She felt his wet hair. "Still raining outside?"
Mikey shook his head no.
"Can I use the microfilm again?"
"Sure, come on."
Together they walked down the aisles, but this time Miss Jennings led him away from the stairs leading to the basement.
"But first, I want to show you something. Sit here for a minute," she said as she pulled out a chair.
Mikey watched her disappear down the aisle. Curious, he sat down and waited for her. He thought about the first time he met Miss Jennings. It was fourth grade, and he sat alone near these same tables after school one day, reading a book about the United States Marine Corps. She came over and picked up his jacket that had fallen off the back of his chair. She took it and placed it near him, as a mother would do for her son. She smiled at him, then walked off. Mikey never forgot that moment, and he spent many a time revisiting that image over the years just for comfort. He supposed that's why he kept coming back to the library since then. A few minutes later, Miss Jennings returned with a couple of books in her hands. She gently placed them on the table in front of Mikey. Then she began to thumb through one of them.
"I know the last couple of days have been hard for you," she said softly, "and I know you want to give up on everything, but I don't think you should, Mikey."
He looked at her with raised eyebrows, as though shocked by what he'd heard.
"Yeah, well, investigative reporting isn't what I thought it would be," he sighed. "Some things are better left uncovered, you know?"
"Mikey, Lexi came to see me yesterday, and she told me what happened and why you all were looking for Mrs. Stevenson at her shop that day."
"What? What do you mean?" he asked.
Mikey looked away with embarrassment.
"Oh, great," he thought. "Now even Miss Jennings thinks I'm nuts."
Miss Jennings tapped his arm, and he looked into her warm eyes.
"Oh, no, I don't think you're crazy," she said. "Mikey, I believe you."
He stared at her and sat up straight.
"Wait, what?" he said. "You do?"
She nodded and smiled that familiar smile.
"I believe you. It makes sense that the bus driver would be the killer of those girls, and the one who would kill those schoolchildren," she said. "I looked up some of the articles, and I think your Uncle Kevin knew something about the bus driver, and that's why he and his friends were killed. They knew too much."
Mikey felt his face become warm.
"I think the ghost of Kevin Thompson is trying to tell you something, and I think he wants you to help solve the crime. It makes sense."
"Really? You think that?" he said with a wide smile. But the smile quickly left his face as he thought more about it.
"Yeah, but I'm all alone now. My friends can't help me anymore, and I have to do all this by myself."
He rested his chin on his palm. "What can I do? I'm just a 12-year-old little kid. I'm barely over 5 feet 5 inches tall. I can't play hockey or football or..."
Miss Jennings nudged him as she opened the book she had brought to the table. "And that's why I want to show you a few things," she said.
She flipped through a few pages that pointed to a photograph of Audie Murphy, the famous World War II hero.
"You know, Mikey," she said, "Audie Murphy, the most decorated soldier from World War II, was a little guy."
She pointed to another photograph of the hero.
"He was only 5 feet 5 inches tall. Yet look at all he accomplished."
Mikey listened as Miss Jennings read a list of the medals awarded to the American soldier. Medal of Honor, Medal of Conduct, Purple Heart, Bronze Star, Distinguished Service Cross, and the list goes on and on. Mikey was intrigued with the story. He leaned in and looked at the many bright colored photographs of the famous soldier. He was even a movie star.
"Wow," Mikey mumbled.
Then she pulled out another book and showed him a photograph of another American hero.
"This is Lewis Chesty Puller," she said. "He is a highly decorated and respected Marine in the United States Marine Corps."
Mikey studied the photograph of the tough-looking man with a chest full of military ribbons.
"Yeah, I've heard of him," he said.
He was known for being a warrior on the battlefield, and guess what?
What?
He was a little guy, too. He was only 5'7" tall. She grinned and closed the book. You see, Mikey, how tall or how big you are doesn't matter when it comes to doing the right thing. Yeah, you may be a little kid, but you can still do heroic things.
She opened another book and flipped to a page with the famous painting of George Washington on it.
Mikey, when our first president was 12 years old, he was already doing geometry and trigonometry at home.
Really?
Mikey studied the photograph of the painting. She nodded and pointed to another painting of the president. And at age 15, he started his own business as a land surveyor.
His own business? Mikey asked. As a teenager?
She nodded again and pointed to another photograph. And this is Alexander Hamilton. Mikey looked at the photograph of a painting of a very distinguished man with silver hair and a dark suit.
Who's he?
He asked. He was our first Secretary of Treasury, and when he was only 12 years old, he was helping his mother run a business in the West Indies in two languages. She held up her two fingers. He was an avid reader and read both Greek and Roman classics.
Cool, Mikey said.
I had no idea. She closed the book. History is a wonderful thing, Mikey. We can look at the past and see that many came before us to lead the way so that we might be able to do great things too.
Mikey ran his fingers over the book.
At any age?
At any age, she said.
Mikey took in all she had said.
Yes, you're only 12 years old and a little kid, she put her hand on his shoulder, but you can still do great things.
She slid the books over to him, just like these great men did. I know you can do this. You have it in you. I can see it. And I know Kevin sees it too. She smiled. So promise me that you won't give up.
He looked up into her kind face.
I promise, he said. He carefully stacked the books on top of each other and thought about what the Reverend said about the past and forgetting about it. He compared it to what Miss Jennings showed him in the books. Then he stood to leave.
I will. I'll do the right thing.
Good. That's the spirit, she said. By the way, how did your date with my dad go the other night? He asked her.
She stood and nervously adjusted her glasses while fumbling with the chair.
Oh, well, it was pleasant, I guess you could say.
Yes, that's the word, pleasant, I guess,
she said with a look of embarrassment.
Thank you for asking.
Your father is a very nice man, a true gentleman. She picked up the history books and hugged them close to her body like a shield for protection.
Pleasant, Mikey said. That's all?
He knew his voice sounded disappointed, even though he didn't mean it to. He had high hopes for the two of them hitting it off.
Well, you know, it's always hard for two people to hit it off right away.
She played with her earrings.
Yeah, but you two have known each other for a long time, and
we knew of each other a long time ago, back in high school. She turned her head.
Mikey, your dad, well, he said he's not ready.
Mikey cocked his head.
Huh?
He asked.
Not ready? Not ready for what?
She nudged her glasses up the bridge of her nose and cleared her throat.
You see, he said he's just not ready for a relationship at this time in his life.
Her voice filled with emotion, and Mikey could see tears form in her eyes.
And so, well, let's just leave it at that.
Mikey felt his blood boil. He couldn't believe his father said that to Miss Jennings.
Isn't ready, he thought. Who's he kidding? It's been over 4 years now since the divorce. Why is he doing this? How could he hurt Miss Jennings, the nicest, most kindest of all people?
Mikey exhaled and rubbed his forehead in frustration.
I'm sorry, Mikey said. I'll talk to him.
No, Mikey. Please don't. She raised her palm to him. She seemed nervous.
Please don't tell him what I told you.
Oh, okay, I won't, he sighed. But please don't give up on him yet.
Thanks, and, well, I hope he and I do see each other again soon.
She turned to head back to her books.
Thanks for coming, Mikey. I hope you feel better. Let me know how Destry is doing, okay?
He could hear the disappointment in her voice and see it in the way she walked off with her shoulders hunched over and her head down.
I will, he said as she walked off. And thanks for, you know, everything.
She turned and smiled and waved.
Of course, anytime, she said.
And she means it, he thought as he pushed in his chair and turned to leave.
She would be there anytime to help me, or anyone for that matter.
I can't believe my dad could be so mean to such a nice lady. What was he thinking? He wasn't thinking, that's the problem. At least, he wasn't thinking about what we need. A couple of days later, Mikey sat in his room on his bed for a few minutes that Thanksgiving morning. He wore his black dress shoes, black slacks, and a fuzzy sweater his grandmother had sent him. She always expected everyone to dress up for Thanksgiving at her house. All that remained on his bedroom walls were the articles from the school newspaper that he had written and a Jaws movie poster above his bed. Mikey walked over and stood in front of the mirror that hung on the back of his door. He hated the sweater and the way he looked in it. He thought about his dad again. Why does my dad do this stuff? He thought. He had a chance for a real nice relationship and he blows it. What's he afraid of? Doesn't he know Mom isn't coming back anytime soon? Mikey looked intently at himself in the mirror. She isn't coming back anytime soon, ever, he said out loud to no one there. Who are you to judge him? Mikey thought. You're just as afraid as he is. You're a big fat chicken. You're afraid of everything. He put his hand inside his pocket and pulled out the silver key. He had almost forgotten it, but decided to keep it with him at all times, hoping it might trigger a memory or something. Now he just wanted to throw it away and forget about the whole thing. You're afraid to investigate any further. You're afraid to do it alone, he thought. You're afraid of what you might find. He inspected the key again. It had no markings on it to make it special, but he had a feeling the box it belonged to had special meaning to Kevin, his uncle. Mikey, let's go, his dad shouted from downstairs, breaking his concentration. He put the key down on his dresser and opened the bedroom door. Then he hesitated for a second. He turned and picked up the key, gripping it in his palm. He thought for a moment about throwing it away, but something inside him told him not to. He put it back in his pocket. In the truck, the two sat in silence as they drove past rows and rows of trees lining the highway. The sun shone, but piles of snow were seen alongside the road. Each night for several days, the snow fell, and Mikey knew the pond was frozen solid again. He also knew his friends were back to practicing on it for the hockey tournament coming in January. He leaned his head on the window glass and sighed. He knew nothing would ever be the same again. He wished he'd given Chad that hockey stick after all. His dad reached over and fiddled with the radio until settling on some station that played a song by George Jones. Mikey listened to the music for a few seconds. Then another song came on. This time it was by Olivia Newton-John. He remembered her from his mother's record albums. He leaned forward and turned down the radio. Dad. His voice was barely above a whisper. Yeah, son? His dad answered in a flat voice. He tapped his hand on the steering wheel to the rhythm of the song. I'm sorry. About the other day, Mikey mumbled. Don't worry about it, his dad said. Mikey looked over at him. His dad looked alert as he drove. His face was clean shaven. He wore a dress jacket over his sweater and his usual jeans and boots. In his mouth was a toothpick. Mikey felt pangs of guilt as they drove. He suddenly felt sorry for his dad now that he knew his grandparents blamed him for the death of Kevin. He realized how hard it must be for his dad to appear at their house year after year as though nothing ever happened. The truck pulled up into the long driveway of his parents' house. They came out and waved. Before Mikey opened the truck door, his dad touched his arm. Thanks for apologizing, Mike, he said. Means a lot. Sure, Mikey said. And, his dad inhaled. You're right. Mikey cocked his head. Huh? You're right. Your mom, she left us because of me. Not because of anything you did. Understand? Mikey sat there looking into his father's eyes, and he slowly nodded. Hey, do you believe me? His dad asked. Mikey looked away and shook his head no. Hey, Mike, his dad said, look at me. Mikey reluctantly looked at his dad again. She left because of me, not you. His dad reached over and gave Mikey a big hug. Mikey could smell the Old Spice cologne on his dad's cheek. It made him feel safe. He hugged his dad back, realizing that was the first time since the accident on the ice that they had really hugged. Now, let's go eat some turkey. His dad got out of the truck and walked toward his waiting parents. The Thanksgiving feast at Grandma's house was the same every year. A 20-pound turkey stuffed with Grandma's famous cornbread and pecan stuffing with rosemary seasoning. Rows of every sort of vegetable lined the center of the table, making a colorful display. Homemade baked dinner rolls, homemade cranberry sauce, her famous gravy in an antique gravy boat, and Grandma's finest silver all adored the long mahogany table. Mikey sat in his usual spot watching Grandpa carve the turkey. Everything smelled amazing. They said grace first, and then everyone dug in. His grandparents' neighbors joined in the feast, along with some of Mikey's older cousins visiting from Omaha. He remained quiet as he ate more and more food that was passed by him, by arms reaching over his plate from every direction. "I guess they think I need to eat or something," he thought, as he scooped more mashed potatoes onto his plate. Before he knew it, everyone had slowed down, leaned back, and began to drink coffee as the homemade pumpkin pie was passed around. Mikey declined any dessert and excused himself from the table. He decided to leave the adults there to talk sports and politics. As they talked, Mikey meandered through the living room and for the first time noticed the decor. It was similar to Miss Jennings' home. Grandma had many antiques in her home mixed in with newer furniture. He leaned in and inspected all the nicely framed photographs of his father. There were school photos and some family photos mixed in with Grandpa's retirement photos and a vacation picture of his grandparents in Hawaii. They looked happy in the photograph. Oddly, there were no photographs anywhere in the room of his dad with Kevin. So Mikey decided to see what lined the hallway. He flipped on the hall light and gazed into each photograph that hung on either side of the hallway. These photos were old black and white photos of his grandparents when they were young. Mikey didn't care much for those, so he was about to leave the hallway when he noticed he was by a door to a bedroom. He reached out and twisted the doorknob. The door was unlocked. He began to push open the door, but paused and looked down the hall to see if anyone spied him. He knew his cousins were outside playing touch football on the lawn, and the adults were still talking. Satisfied that he wasn't being watched, Mikey opened the door and entered the room. Chapter 26. The Keepsake Box. As Mikey looked around the room, he noticed a few things that seemed familiar to him. He noticed a pendant from his school on the wall, but it was older and slightly faded. A few books on the bookshelf were similar to the books he had in his own room at home, and the bookcase on the opposite wall matched his bed at home. That's when he realized he was in his dad's former bedroom. Mikey quietly looked around the room and walked over to the closet doors. When he opened them, he saw that no clothes hung on the hangers, but a few old suitcases were stacked on the top shelf. It reeked of mothballs. On the bottom, in the back of the closet, were some boxes. He reached in and pulled one out, then opened it up. He winced when he saw the contents. Old trophies. "Huh?" Mikey said as he reached in and pulled out a trophy. It was a hockey trophy. He looked in and saw more trophies inside. One was for football, and all had his father's name engraved on them. "I don't get it," he thought. Mikey put the trophies back into the box, and he slid it to the back of the closet. He closed the closet door and turned around. Mikey saw another door across the bedroom. He approached it and opened the door only to discover the bathroom. A few old cologne bottles sat atop the counter. All the towels matched, and it looked impeccably clean. But it was the door across the way that intrigued Mikey. He knew the bathroom connected with another bedroom. He slowly opened the connecting door and found himself inside his Uncle Kevin's former bedroom. The room had a musty smell to it, like dust mixed with rain. Mikey looked around at the old western-themed posters on the walls. The lamp by the bed was made from a cowboy boot. The lampshade had horses on it, and so did the curtains. One wall was covered with cowboy-themed wallpaper. Mikey walked over to the small twin bed and sat on it. The mattress was stiff. He wasn't surprised, since no one had slept on it for probably many, many years. He sat in his uncle's room for a moment and gazed around. He liked it. Everything felt comfortable, as though a kid his age lived there. A thought came to his mind. A keepsake box, he thought. He stood and began looking around the room for anything resembling a keepsake box. But he didn't find anything. He took out the silver key from his pocket and fingered it, still curious about why Kevin showed it to him. He went to put it back inside his pocket, but it slipped. Then the sound of the silver key hitting the wooden floor startled him. He watched it bounce under the bed. Mikey bent down and started to look for it, but was interrupted when he heard some loud laughter coming from the family room. He hurried over to the door and opened it, enough to peek out. He could hear more laughter and smelled some vanilla-scented pipe smoke. He knew the adults were probably playing cards now, and his grandpa was smoking his pipe. Mikey closed the door and quickly looked under the bed for the silver key. He couldn't see it lying nearby, so he used his hand to feel around the dusty floor under the bed for it. He couldn't feel anything, so he lay down and peered under the bed. He reached for it again and grabbed the key, but when he did, his whole body froze up. He couldn't believe his eyes. Right there under the bed was a keepsake box. Mikey quickly grabbed it along with the key. He sat down on the bed with the box on his lap. A keepsake box, he thought. Could it be the one? It was made of wood stained dark and varnished to a shine. It was covered in dust, so Mikey wiped it clean with the sleeve of his sweater. He picked it up and turned it around, inspecting it for any clues. There was no engraving or any marks that made it unique at all. Then he took out the key and put it into the lock. It fit. Should I open it? He thought. His hands quivered. He closed his eyes and slowly twisted the key. He heard the lid pop open. Mikey opened his eyes and carefully lifted the lid. Inside the box, he saw only a piece of paper and a $1 bill. He picked up the paper. Happy birthday was all it read. He picked up the dollar bill. It was dated 1961. He probably got it for his birthday that year, Mikey thought. He put everything back in the box and closed it, locked it, and then put the key back in his pocket. That's it? That's all that's in there? That's all the clue I was supposed to find? What the heck does it all mean? He set the keepsake box down on the bed and stared at it for a few minutes, thinking about what to do next. Maybe I should show it to Miss Jennings. Maybe she'll know what to do. He thought he heard someone coming, so he quickly took off his sweater and wrapped the box in it. Then he headed back to his dad's bedroom and waited. When he heard no one in the hallway, he peeked out the bedroom door and quietly walked to the front door. The television was on, blaring the football game. The Dallas Cowboys were playing the St. Louis Cardinals. No one paid attention to Mikey sneaking by. "Where are you headed, Mikey?" he heard his grandpa ask from the other room. Out to the truck for a minute," he said as he walked out the door with only his undershirt and pants on. "You should put that sweater on. It's still pretty cold out," his grandpa shouted after him. Okay, Grandpa, I will," Mikey said as he closed the front door and headed for the truck. He opened the truck door and placed the box wrapped in his sweater on the floor of the truck under the passenger side, hoping his dad wouldn't see it there. "I'll deal with the box later," he mumbled to himself, and he slammed the truck door closed. The drive home was quiet. Mikey was glad his dad never said anything about the fact that his son wasn't wearing a sweater that cold evening. Mikey stared out the window as they drove along the highway. The sun peeked through the trees as they passed by the window. The snow piled up on the side of the road had a bluish glow to it. He sat and tried to figure out what he would do next to solve the mystery. Of course, he'd have to do it alone now that no one was allowed to help him. "Did you get enough to eat?" his dad asked. "Because Grandma packed up some leftovers and..." "Yep, I'm stuffed. Thanks, Dad." After the truck pulled into the driveway, Mikey grabbed his sweater off the floor of the cab and headed upstairs before his dad could say anything else. He closed his bedroom door shut and waited for his dad's footsteps. Instead, he heard the television turn on and the sound of a football game playing. He knew his dad would crack open a beer and fall asleep on the couch as usual. Mikey placed the keepsake box on his dresser, sat on his bed, and stared at the box across the room. He crossed his legs and rested his elbows on his thighs in deep thought, trying desperately to figure out why a ghost would want him to see a dollar bill inside a keepsake box. "What do I do now?" he thought. "I guess I could continue interviewing people, but who's going to want to talk to me now? I'm the kid that almost got Destry killed. I'm the kid who believes in ghosts. I'm the kid who thinks there's a killer out there. No one's going to want to talk to me." When the room turned dark, he reached over and turned on the lamp. He continued to stare at the box on the dresser across the room. "Talk to me," he thought. "Tell me something. I need to know more from you." In some way, he had hoped Kevin would hear him. He slid over to his pillow, propped it up, and lay back on his bed. He folded his hands on his chest, thinking more about the ghosts. "What does it all mean?" he thought. "A dollar bill? A happy birthday note? It doesn't make any sense. Yet the ghost wanted me to find it. Kevin wanted me in that room." The phone rang, interrupting his thoughts. He could hear his father walk to the phone and answer it. The voice was garbled. The receiver went down. "Mikey!" his father shouted. Mikey ran to the door and headed downstairs. He found his father strapping on his gun holster. "I just got a call. They pulled another body out of the pond," he said. His face looked worried. "Oh, okay." Mikey couldn't believe it. "Another dead body?" His dad put on his heavy coat and walked over to Mikey. "Son, it's... well..." His dad sighed heavily. "Son, it looks like it's the body of Mrs. Stevenson." Mikey's eyes widened and his mouth dropped open. "Isn't she that older lady you and your friends went to visit the other..." "Yes," Mikey interrupted him. He covered his mouth with his hand. His stomach turned. I can't believe it. I just talked with her at the funeral." He sat down on the step, still gripping the banister, as though he needed it for balance. "Sorry, son," his dad said. He put on his cowboy hat and opened the door that led to the garage. "You stay here. Don't head out to the pond or anything. I'll probably be late. Call Grandma if you need anything, okay?" Mikey felt himself nod his head, but he was still stuck in a fog of confusion. Mrs. Stevenson's kind face came into his mind. "Mikey," his dad said. Mikey looked at him. "You okay?" Yeah, Dad. I'm okay. Just shocked, I guess." His dad squeezed his shoulder, then headed out the door. Mikey sat by himself, listening to the garage door open and the truck engine start. Then he heard it back away out of the garage. "She's dead," Mikey thought. "How'd this happen? I just spoke to her the other..." He quickly pulled on his boots and coat, then headed out the door. "Mikey, I'm not supposed to talk to you," Lexi said in the doorway of her home. "I know, but I've got something important to tell you," he whispered so her parents wouldn't hear him. "Please come out for a minute. Tell them it's Chad or something." She sighed, then carefully closed the door. Mikey paced back and forth in the driveway for a few minutes. Many houses already had Christmas lights blinking in the night. Finally, she came out through the side door of the garage. She wore a pink knit cap with matching pink mittens. He thought she looked like an ice cream cone. "Thanks," he motioned for her to come across the street. "Mikey, what is it?" "Mrs. Stevenson," he said. "Yeah?" "She's dead." Lexi gasped and cupped her mitten-covered hands over her mouth. She reacted exactly like he knew she would. "What? When?" she asked. "How?" "I don't know, but my dad just got the call." Mikey started, walking toward Chad's house. "They pulled her body out of the pond." "The usual dumping ground," Lexi whispered with a faraway look in her eyes. "Yep, and I think the killer was in the car that hit Destry that night," he said. "Remember?" "What? Really? How do you know, though? Did you see him? Did you get a good look at his face?" She walked a few steps, then stopped. "No, I have a gut feeling," he said. "Mikey," she said, "I can't go any further. I'll get in trouble." She looked back in the direction of her house. Mikey frowned, revealing his disappointment. "Yeah, okay," he murmured. "I guess I messed up big time, huh?" She gently touched his arm. "No, we all went with you on our own. No one forced us to go with you. That car hit Destry. There was nothing you could do about it. And now, if you know it was the killer inside that car, well, then that explains why he came after us, Mikey. He was probably going to hurt all of us," Lexi said. "Yeah, well, the parents don't see it that way," Mikey said. He walked off. "Good night." Lexi watched him walk away with hunched shoulders. "Good night." She headed back home. "Hey, loser," came a shout in front of Mikey. He recognized the angry voice of Donnie. Chad and Stan were walking with him with their hockey sticks in hand and skates slung over their shoulders by the laces. "Shut up, Donnie." Chad nudged him, then turned to Mike. "Hey, Mike, how have you been?" "Hey," Mikey said without making eye contact. "What are you doing out here? There's no way you're going to play hockey with us." "Donnie, shut up," Chad said. "Man, keep walking. I'll meet you guys there." "If you're heading toward the pond, you won't be able to skate on it tonight," Mikey said. "Oh yeah, why not?" Donnie answered. "Because they found another dead body," Mikey replied. He began to walk away toward the pond, leaving the boys behind. "What? Who is it?" Chad asked. "Mrs. Stevenson," Mikey said as he walked off. He could hear them discussing what they'd just heard. "Hey, Mikey, wait up!" Chad shouted after him. Thank you. The Children Under the Ice, 2nd Edition, copyright 2018 by R.A. Douthat. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means without the prior written permission of the publisher. The only exception is brief quotations in professional reviews. The Children Under the Ice is a work of fiction. References to real people, events, establishments, organizations, or locales are intended only to provide a sense of authenticity and are used fictitiously. All other characters, incidents, and dialogue are drawn from the author's imagination. The perspective, opinions, and worldview represented by this book are those of the author and are not intended to be a reflection or endorsement of the publisher's views.